I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. You know that old saying, you have big shoes to fill? As the son of James Taylor and Carly Simon, Ben Taylor probably knows more about that than most. His dad was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. His mom has an Academy Award, a Golden Globe, and a Grammy. Each is one of the most beloved artists of their generation, so a little pressure maybe? Thankfully, critics found in his 2003 debut album, Famous Among the Barns, a unique twist on American folk music.
Across the sunrise and covered by the windows and blinds, away from wandering eyes as they struggle for something to see.
That was Ben Taylor singing No More Running Away from his 2003 debut album, Famous Among the Barns. And having tamed at least some of the doubters, now Ben has released his latest album. It's called Listening, and he's with us now to give us a listen. Thank you so much for stopping by.
So delighted to be here. Thanks for taking the time to see us and talk to us today.
And when we were preparing for this interview, of course, we came across an album review of Listening, and it said, quote, I have to say I feel a little sorry for him, not because he's not good, because he really is a terrific songwriter, or because he won't find success in what he does, because he already has, but mainly because he's one of those few artists who probably always feels he has to live up to his lineage, end quote. Is that true? I mean, do you think about that a lot? I mean, apart from when jerks like me bring it up.
Well, I think that I am hyper-vigilantly self-critical when it comes to my almost everything, but especially when it comes to music, because, you know, my folks have set such incredible examples of success, obviously. It's been, and I procrastinated about realizing I wanted to be, or admitting to myself that I wanted to be a professional musician, because I figured I would, I'd be looking at myself closer than anyone else would under that microscope of comparison.
And when did you start to pick up music?
I started to play guitar when I was around 12, but I was terrified to sing, and I definitely didn't want to write any songs until I was in my 20s.
In your 20s?
Yeah.
Right. Well, how did your folks talk to you about this? Did they encourage, discourage?
My mother, it was hard to understand what was going on because she's never discouraged anything. As a matter of fact, there were some of the things that I was terrible at that I kept doing way too long because she told me I was a genius. and that's her method, and it's done good because I do believe in myself quite a bit. My father, I told him I was thinking about it. He said, "Don't fool yourself. Music is a blue collar job." He said, "I know that you've seen a lot of good life being lived here, but unless you're prepared to work your butt off and try every day and never fail to show up on time for a professional commitment, you'll never get anywhere."
Hmm.
It's a job that you have to work extremely hard for.
That's pretty good advice for any job, really.
I think so, too.
Show up, pay attention, don't think anybody owes you anything, pay your dues.
I saw Still Bill, the Bill Withers documentary, the other day, and he said, "I say to my kids all the time, on your way to out of sight, you're going to pass through all right. And when you get to all right, take a good look around, because that might be as good as it gets, and that's all right."
Okay. Your album, Listening, was recorded over a span of 4 years. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
With some songs recorded just in time for its release. Is that normally the way you work?
Well, it has been normally the way I've worked, because I've always owned my own label and been completely in charge of my own career up until this album, which we signed to another distributor. And being the master of my own destiny, being the one whose money was going to be spent, and being the one who was going to had the most to lose by procrastinating, I'd get finished making the album, and I'd just say, "Let's start from scratch."
What made you decide it was finished?
We signed with a label, and I no longer had the luxury of making that decision myself. I would have just kept on recording it until I died, no doubt, because that's the track that I was on. But now we had other people who were invested, both, you know, in spirit and in money, and it was time to put my mouth where their money was.
Okay, so you are going to play something for us, right?
I would love to.
Okay, I would love it if you would. Do you want to introduce who's with you to help us out?
This is my best friend and musical lieutenant, right-hand man, Mr. David Saul.
All right, David, thank you for coming also.
Thank you.
Okay, what are you going to play?
This is a song called Listening, the title track to the album. David and I wrote it together. Mostly, I decided to call the album Listening because it's hard for me to promote myself. It's awkward. When you go out and try to tell people, you know, "Hey, I'm so great, you got to come and listen to me," it's great if you have like a cause, a charity that you're working with. So you can say, "Hey, I'm playing in town tonight to benefit local foods," or, you know, urban farms, or urban garden projects, whatever it is. If you have something bigger than yourself like that, it is easy to promote your project. So I was looking for something to call my album that would actually be a good cause. And I, as a musician, have always been better, and as a performer, have always been better at being listened to by people than listening to them myself. I felt that if I could make a change in my life and be a better listener, it would make my music better. So this song and album are sort of a journey into that possibility.
Another number for another year, another blessing disguised by fear. How come everything good seems so hard to hear while I'm listening? I've been trying to find myself, and all I need is a little help. But everybody else is busy helping themselves. Am I listening? Listening. I get to feeling like I can't go on here. How much longer? How much longer? Believing that I don't belong here. How much longer? Tell me. I was looking for a way to bow out gracefully. When I try to catch some understanding, everybody wants to race with me. And I get to feeling like I can't go on here. How much longer? How much longer? Believing that I don't belong here. How much longer? Tell me how much longer, how much longer.
That was Listening. It's the title track in Ben Taylor's latest album, Listening. I love that line where you said, I was looking for a way to bow out gracefully, but every time, finish it for me,
when I try to catch some understanding, everybody wants to race with me.
Where does that come from?
I don't know. It was just this idea of going through listening to the same thing over and over and over again. And I feel like a lot of the time when you have conversations with people, they already have an idea where they want the conversation to go. So rather than hearing what you have to say and thinking about what they want to say in response, they just use their words to corral the conversation in the direction they want it to go. And when I get into that, I want to stop talking.
What do you think that is?
I think it might be a symptom of too much speed, too much fastness, you know, just people being impatient to get their point across or to get on to the next thing. I think that people's attention is so often segmented into little segments of time now. You know, people, rather than sitting down and reading a long chapter in a book, they often watch a half an hour TV show that's segmented into so many little commercial breaks that they don't get very used to paying good attention.
Do you feel that you can help that in some way, maybe fix that a little bit with your music? I mean,
that's a lofty goal for me to try to because first of all, I don't think that musicians should confuse the power of music with personal power, because we're just the lucky antennas is really all that we are. We, with that capacity, do have the potential to be at the right place in the right time to open eyes and shed light, etc. But I don't have any answers. You know, music has the answers far more than I do.
There is something else. You were going to play another song. Do you mind if we go right there? Because we can talk about that.
Sure.
I think you're going to play America, right? Do I have that right?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
Da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-dum, whoa-oh. America, now we can keep believing, but there's so much to do. So much to lose, ooh. She was as pretty as a dream, the most amazing girl I've ever seen. But not just did she look good, she made you free. She said, you belong to me, and I won't see your spirit in shackles. Well, the snake makes apple wine for the paradise fair, and Eden bats her lashes of her eyes, lets her hair down. The dancing feels so fine, don't wanna go nowhere, but she gets thirsty for apple wine. Sometimes, America, how can we believe it after what we've been through? America, well, we can keep believing, but there's so much to do. So much to lose, ooh. And so she took up with a white man who seemed to have no feelings. He just couldn't get it right, man. Kept killing and stealing. And he moved all of her tribesmen to lives with lower ceilings, where their stories were in need of the forgotten wise. He made his fools king and made himself god. Traded guns and lives and drugs and cod. His wealth grew greater, he never learned to sing, but he always was a rather good sailor. Hey, yeah, America, now how can we believe it after what we've been through? America, we can keep believing, but there's so much to do. Da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-dum, my lord, America.
That was Ben Taylor singing America. It's from his latest album, Listening. You got a lot going on there. man. What got you going on that one?
So I woke up one early morning, as I'm given to do. I feel that on the Atlantic Ocean, the sunrises are what it's all about. On the Pacific, you get really good sunsets, but in the Atlantic, the sunrises are something. I live on an island where it rises right out of the sea, too. And I woke up for a sunrise. I was sitting there in my kitchen, and I was thinking to myself, wow, this is the most beautiful country I've ever been in. But I just was so struck by admiration and uncharacteristic patriotism that I said, my sense of civic duty kicked in, and I said, what can I do about how incredible this country is? How can I do my part to make it a better place? So I said, I'll make a song for America. And I start to write it, and I was so overwhelmed by historical confusion, to say the very least, that it became a really, I mean, you think that there's a lot going on there. I had pages and pages and pages of rantings and ravings. And it became too massive for me to put into a song. So I took a step back and I said, okay, this is a love song, because America is like the most beautiful woman you've ever met. And maybe she had a couple bad relationships with guys in the past, and maybe you even kind of remind her of them, but she's mine now, and it's time to see what we can do.
You know, I'm trying to think about which campaign could use that as an anthem. I can't come up with one. I mean, I like to really kind of listen. To that end, though, I'm curious about this. You know, we're in an election year now, and there's this, you know, every 4 years, there's always this interesting thing about which artists connect with which candidates. And to what end, and what are they saying, and who the heck are you anyway to be talking to you? You know, I don't want to hear it, you know. Where, as an artist, do you fit in these kinds of conversations right now, especially when people are talking politics and a decision has to be made?
Well, we being the catalysts of music, we're in one of these weird positions where we can, because of the attention that we have and because because of faulty judgment all over the world, people think that we're cool. So we have a position to be able to say, hey, listen to this guy, he knows what he's talking about, or, you know, focus on this matter because it's one of the important issues. I think generally speaking, when most artists become amateur politicians and sort of self-centered socialists, it annoys me. It does, and not me, though. I totally know what I'm talking about. Everybody listen to me. That song is about the limit of my capacity to be able to be intelligent about it. I can be intelligent about it on a very sort of broad, macrocosmic way, because I'm not familiar enough with any of the minutiae to be able to draw an educated opinion.
We started our conversation talking a little bit about, you know, finding your own musical identity, finding your own way, particularly given your musical heritage. You think you found it?
Yeah, I really do. I feel like one of the drawbacks of being a celebrity brat I think that a lot of the time, because of who we are and where we come from, we get opportunities before we've earned them. You know, the first time I ever did a concert, there shouldn't have been anybody there to watch me make an idiot of myself on stage, but it was the entire U.S. Olympic ski team and Spike Lee, whose movies I've always loved. And it was just, and honestly, it was traumatizing. I feel like in spite of having taken more of those opportunities than I should have before I was ready for them, it's still been a pretty good, graceful trip for me, but I now feel as though I really am ready for them.
Well, thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much.
Get lost on your tour. Do you want to play one more thing? You want
to
play something else for
love
me, right?
To.
One more thing?
Yeah,
what are you going to play now?
I'm going to play a song called Oh Brother that I wrote about my... I've 11-year-old twin half-brothers, my old man's kids. And I was up there visiting them, and I was watching them pick out their own clothes for school for the first time and saying, Ben, do you think this looks cool? It took me right back because I remember when I was in that place where I was just wondering if there was anything that I could wear or say or do or you know, any rule I could break to be perceived as cool by my friends in school. And I tried to think quickly. I said, you know, the only thing that I learned so far about cool is that it's an accident. So I said, you know, what you do is figure out who you are, which won't be easy, and then try to be that person and keep your cool. And then that would be as close as you can come to doing it on purpose. And, you know, they weren't ready for that advice. So they said, oh, that's really cool. But how does this look?
Okay.
And so I figured that they would be ready for that advice at some point. So I'd best to put it into a song in order to make it ready for them as soon as they wanted it.
Ben Taylor is currently on tour promoting his latest album, Listening. It's in stores now. Ben Taylor, thanks so much for joining us.
The pleasure's been all mine. Thanks again for having us.
And we're going to hear Oh Brother.
No man is a hero every day. A champion is just a man on the day before the race. Try not to be sleeping when you're wide awake. And when your chance comes, have fun. Don't be afraid. Oh, brother, all you got to know is who you are. And it'll be all right, all right.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more on Monday.
You're gonna shine so bright.